You've just read one of the most successful urban legends of the past 15 years. The first clue is the classic urban legend opening, a friend of a friend. Have you ever noticed that our friends' friends have much more interesting lives than our friends themselves? You've probably heard the kidney heist tale before. There are hundreds of versions in circulation, and all of them share a core of three elements. Number one, the drugged drink. Number two, the ice-filled bathtub. And number three, the kidney theft punchline. One version features a married man who receives the drugged drink from a prostitute he is invited to his room in Las Vegas. It's a morality play with kidneys. Imagine that you closed the book right now, took an hour-long break, then called a friend and told the story without rereading it. Chances are you could tell it almost perfectly. You might forget that the traveler was in Atlantic City for an important meeting with clients. Who cares about that? But you'd remember all the important stuff. The kidney heist is a story that sticks. We understand it, we remember it, and we can retell it later. And if we believe it's true, it might change our behavior permanently, at least in terms of accepting drinks from attractive strangers. Contrast the kidney heist story with this passage, drawn from a paper distributed by a nonprofit organization. Comprehensive community building naturally lends itself to a return on investment rationale that can be modeled drawing on existing practice, it begins. Going on to argue that a factor constraining the flow of resources to CCIs is that funders must often resort to targeting or categorical requirements in grant making to ensure accountability. Imagine that you closed the book right now and took an hour-long break. In fact, don't even take a break. Just call up a friend and retell that passage without rereading it. Good luck. Is this a fair comparison? An urban legend to a cherry-picked bad passage? Of course not. But here's where things get interesting. Think of our two examples as two poles on a spectrum of memorability. Which sounds closer to the communications you encounter at work? If you're like most people, your workplace gravitates towards the nonprofit pole, as though it were the North Star. Maybe this is perfectly natural. Some ideas are inherently interesting, and some are inherently uninteresting. A gang of organ thieves, inherently interesting. Nonprofit financial strategy, inherently uninteresting. It's the nature versus nurture debate applied to ideas. Are ideas born interesting or made interesting? Well, this is a nurture book. So how do we nurture our ideas so they'll succeed in the world? Many of us struggle with how to communicate ideas effectively, how to get our ideas to make a difference. A biology teacher spends an hour explaining mitosis, and a week later, only three kids remember what it is. A manager makes a speech unveiling a new strategy as the staffers nod their heads enthusiastically. And the next day, the frontline employees are observed cheerfully implementing the old one. Good ideas often have a hard time succeeding in the world. Yet the ridiculous kidney heist tale keeps circulating, with no resources whatsoever to support it. Why? Is it simply because hijacked kidneys sell better than other topics? Or is it possible to make a true, worthwhile idea circulate as effectively as this false idea? The truth about movie popcorn. Art Silverman stared at a bag of movie popcorn. It looked out of place sitting on his desk. His office had long since filled up with fake butter fumes. Silverman knew, because of his organization's research, that the popcorn on his desk was unhealthy. Shockingly unhealthy, in fact. His job was to figure out a way to communicate this message to the unsuspecting moviegoers of America. Silverman worked for the Center for Science and Public Interest, CSPI, a nonprofit group that educates the public about nutrition. The CSPI sent bags of movie popcorn from a dozen theaters in three major cities to a lab for a nutritional analysis. The results surprised everyone. The United States Department of Agriculture, USDA, recommends that a normal diet contain no more than 20 grams of saturated fat each day. According to the lab results,